champions from games yet played. This is The Pod Has Been Cast, a sci-fi tabletop role-playing podcast. In this campaign, we're taking you into the solar punk world of Beyond the Fray. Who's playing with me today?
Hello, my name is Alina, and my pronouns are they, them, with a preference for my name, and I will be playing Spica Lilith Berea, whose pronouns are she, her.
Hey, y'all. My name is Bianca Phipps. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm playing Magnolia, who uses she, her pronouns.
Hi, everyone. My name is Carlos Olmedo. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm playing Gaius Borealis, who uses he, him pronouns.
And coming in with a steel chair, it's David! He comes out of nowhere! He uses he, him pronouns! Ooh. He's playing Sky, who also has a steel chair! Who also uses he, him pronouns.
We were absolutely so close to just having a fucking normal intro. Hi, I'm Jules.
Hi.
I'm your referee this evening, and I use they, them pronouns.
I could not abide that.
I couldn't stand by and watch it happen.
So you brought John Cena into the mix. Well, let's all just huddle up real quick before tip-off. And I don't like saying tip off. Listen, it's been like 8
You don't
episodes.
Want to say tip off?
Every time I get to the word tip off, it feels gross. I don't know why.
It's not a contest, Jules.
It's just the tip off.
Hey, a listener, we're just going to do a quick cast meeting. Do we like tip off?
I mean, I think it's thematic.
It's thematic. It works.
Called it.
I guess I just don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I'm just saying.
It's like in basketball.
Well, it's in basketball. Like you tip with your fingertips. Like you tip the ball to see
to determine which way it goes.
Maybe what is it in golf? They have an off.
That's a tee off.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Teapot.
That you don't?
Oh, let's huddle up real quick. Sorry, listener, you can come back in the room.
Yeah, okay.
Come on in.
Let's huddle up real quick before tip-off and talk about what makes this world so special.
Well, now you're saying it in a way that makes
it's weird.
Play through.
Welcome to tip-off. Just kidding. Welcome to World Building Section, where we build the world. We're using detail designed by Declan Lothian. And today, our word prompt is two words, and those two words are, in this order, musical instruments.
Oh. Tip-off.
Really hoping you were going to say musical theater.
Musical theater. We all look at David.
No! We'll do that on a special time when Broadway gets back to us about sponsorship.
Oh, yeah.
No. Broadway's actually
the announcer.
Commentating
right.
The game.
Yeah. He's a little busy right now. Yeah.
He's broke.
Why is he broke?
Because
all of
why
Broadway
else would
is
he
broke.
Be narrating this game?
Even in solar punk, artists are.
Yeah.
So I am going to say that as far as musical instruments goes, I think that... each faction has its own, like, way of making music. I don't necessarily know, like, well, I do know because I'm making it up, right? So I'll say what is true. I think that there is an instrument, at least one, from pre-conflict that has made it all the way through to post-conflict, like at least like one per section. One per faction, that they all have like
it's the flugelhorn.
It's the flugelhorn for the union. We got the recorder. just kidding.
No,
we did not get the recorder. The recorder died in the flames. But I think for scabs it would be something woodwindy that doesn't need a lot of like upkeep that can just be like polished. But I think on the arc is where most of the stringed instruments are. And here is where David will put in some string music. To fill the silence.
Got it. Okay, perfect.
Thank
I
you so much.
That.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. It's just farts.
That's fuck. In, baby.
Spoiler.
I think that before, back before they like started like making new instruments and such, or like finding anything in the rubble that could be usable or whatever. I think they got really good at beatboxing.
Yes!
All right, and that's the end of the world building session for the rest of the podcast. Thank you.
We have built enough of the world.
I am dropped in.
You know what? I took a risk, okay?
Here comes another apocalypse.
Here comes another chair!
Oh, it's another chair!
I can't wait for Spica to show off her beatboxing skills.
I just know butted you so hard. Yes, they got really good at beatboxing.
No, I don't think it's actually beatboxing. I just think that like they were able to like I don't know, make music with like their mouths and their bodies, and they got really creative.
Like ham boning.
Like singing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Or Mongolian throat singing.
Cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, fine, they sing. I don't know.
Let's keep on.
I think
okay, go.
Yeah, I got one too.
I think musical instruments, especially for the scavengers, just turns us into a troop of stomp.
Yeah, stomp.
Yeah. Actually,
why
that's
is
all
the
it's
worst
all
one we've done. It's musical instruments.
It's all trash can lids and, yep. and old fucking wind chimes and all sorts of like yeah. buckets of glass that
yes.
are in, like with different intonations and
actually okay.
And it's just a bunch of people with golf clubs and baseball bats smacking the shit out of everything.
And it's
yeah. actually kind of growing on me a little bit.
Okay. Percussion chic.
That's actually perfect
on top of it.
Yeah. But that actually goes perfect into mine because I was going to steal something from, well, I guess you can call it inspiration from Haikyuu. You know how they have those like little like cones that they like slap
yeah,
together?
Yeah.
I like to imagine that kind of going off what David was saying, like they have those cones that they pass out, but they're each like different tones. So then when they start slamming them together, it kind of makes like a harmony in the crowd. That's and the whole fun. Goal is to like throw off the other harmony. The fans are trying to like
oh, that's true.
Like theirs louder.
That's better.
That's better than the other thing that I was gonna say, in which I was just gonna beg and plead and like drop to my knees, hope that the woodwind that B was talking about was a vuvuzela.
Yeah!
Yeah! I was thinking vuvuzela too.
Oh my god. I'm sorry, Carl's gonna get that vuvuzela clean.
Right. I didn't release the spit valve on that.
All right, well.
So yeah, go ahead and trim this section.
No. What's super great here is that I'm just gonna put in a perfect sound of a vuvuzela in place of Carlos's mouth.
Let's keep all of this in mind as we dive into this week's game. So we are witnessing the clash of the legends and the angels going head to head in the Claire story, the fight for Last City. So far, the angels are taking the lead. They have already started filling out their play clock. You all started yours a little bit late. So far, Sky is kind of the top performer on your team, not really scoring any points, but looking great.
But looking good.
In fact, a couple of like young scavengers in the crowd are catcalling Sky, the young prince, as you play, perhaps turning into a bit of a heartthrob, as now people
don't
are
do this
seeing.
Don't do this, Angels. Go on.
Yeah, I'll do it. Magnolia kind of coming face to face with the challenges of being an older player, and Spica kind of taking on the reins of trying to get the team back on track as Gaius continues to stumble behind trying to catch up, but while trying to catch up, hyping up Sky as much as he can. We'll pick up where we left off with you. Magnolia's empire kind of floats behind you, sort of guarding you, but still talking to you. Empire continues. She says, I know exactly how you're feeling right now. And if this is going to be my last season, I don't care what's going to happen to my body afterwards. I'm going to fight until the very end. And I'm not going to hold anything back. I expect you to do the same.
The same and better. And I blow her a kiss. And then I fly off. I'm just picking up what you've been putting down, okay? She kissed me on the cheek in the locker room. I don't know how to take that. I'm gay, okay? I don't know what it means. Are we friends? Are we not friends? Are we enemies? I'm just so manually blows a kiss and then she flies off. Are you passing momentum to me?
I'm not, but you actually know what? Yeah, I am passing momentum to you. Yeah, you sort of get this weird energy from Empire. Empire definitely like your rival, but does seem to want you to perform at her level.
Yeah, I don't think that Magnolia takes this as like an insult. Like, I think that she and Empire certainly like have known each other and have come up through this tourney, this sport together. We've seen many a tip off, and I think that like it is honestly heartening to have someone who understands say that to her.
Hell yeah.
So with that, I fly off and I'm going to go find Gaius and I'm going to strategize. Mm. I am going to come find Gaius and I'm going to be like, hey, what you've been doing has been really cool. You've really been shaking it up and I appreciate that.
Thanks.
I really like it. I think that we can keep doing it. I think that if we set Sky up enough without telling him, he'll get us the points that we
what?
Need. And then I ruffle his hair. Nothing. And then I ruffle
Nothing,
his hair.
You're doing great.
You're doing great. We're really proud of you. Good work out there. Hard throb. Hard throb. And then...
Feels worse.
Yeah. And then I turn back to Gaius and I ruffle his hair and I go, we want to keep our secret secret. And then I wink. And so I am going to make a play. Called Little Prince, and I don't know if we're allowed to reuse names, but I am because I like it, and it's the first thing that came to my brain. I'll roll for this. This is plus nine.
Yes.
So the strategy being the play being like as we are continuing working on this tried and true. Scenario as we're like moving through these as much as we can set Sky up to do things we will.
Okay.
So I will roll. Okay, it's a four, which is
okay.
Not bad. On a 4 to 5, your play has a strength and a weakness. I would say that the weakness is that it depends on Sky. Who is is a weakness in the sense that like it's not about me and Gaius and anyone else on the team. Like it is a one man play club. Mm. You know so what
like
I mean?
If they shut him down, it shuts the
then
whole play down.
We're kind of fucked. But I would say that the strength is like indomitable spirit. If you catch him at the right time, the kid is really good at what he does. And if as long as he thinks it's his idea, I think that like Magnolia's like just trying to figure out like what she can do to get him to play. And so seeing that he's in really good form, that all eyes are on him, like if we can get him to score some points, maybe that will like help bolster and will also draw attention to him. And then we still got Gaius. So I would say the strength is Sky's skill, and the weakness is Sky's passion.
It's all about Sky, baby. This episode, it's all about Sky.
This episode,
Sky, baby.
An episode Jesus. About you.
Jesus fucking Christ. I've never felt so humbled.
Oh, no. I'm like, he's doing good. We got to use him. I'm getting old. I can't do it all anymore. How many segments do you think, Jules?
Certainly six.
Okay. Fair enough.
I would be tempted to even add more since this is completely reliant on one person. But we will keep it at a six for now.
Thank you.
All right, you strategize. You have another play clock now. Mm-hmm. Do you do anything else with your turn?
I don't think so. No, I'm not going to do anything. That okay. is my turn. I accept this rose. Thank you.
I will say, Sky, you are.
Oh. No, I passed. Never mind.
Okay. Sky, you are sort of being handled. And I don't know, it doesn't seem like it is super like sneaky in any way, but you can definitely tell that your teammates are kind of working. I don't even know if it would be working around you, but it's sort of like this strange way that they are all kind of like, everything's for Sky now. I'm going to say that might strain your bonds a little bit. I don't know if that is exactly like your style of having all this attention on you. So you choose a teammate. And tell me why your relationship decreases with them by one.
So here's the problem, is that I know the teammate I would choose, but we are already maxed out.
So you have to choose somebody else.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, because obviously my obvious choice is Magnolia, because I'd turn and I'd go, I see what you're doing. Stop it. And like... But I think, I hate to say it, I think like the next obvious choice is probably to turn to Gaius and go, don't encourage her. Like, what are you doing? Stop it.
I'm sorry, she's the boss.
I'm the boss.
Says who?
Scores a point.
Literally, I think Sky literally out loud says who she's the boss. Who said that?
Yeah, you get a couple, like, definitely saw a reaction from the crowd as this, like, sort of little, it's kind of cute, but it's also, like, what's happening? Kind of spat breaks out. The other team certainly takes notice. So, yeah, your bond with a Gaius is strained a bit from this as we pivot to Spica.
Okie dokie. So, Spica is, I think Spica is, like, very family oriented this game. Really got family on the brain for whatever reason. And I think is trying to turn a lot of that attention that they feel towards their mother, and they're putting it on Magnolia, and so sees all of like the stress and everything that they're going through, and or that she's going through. And I think she's going to do passion play.
Ooh.
Yeah. So basically Spike is like, a lot of bad memories are coming through her head, as it pertains to like this sport specifically and her family specifically, but also the best memories she has are with her family specifically around this sport as well. Mm. So I think she tries to take that and like focus on that relationship. So once again, when you close your eyes and let your heart guide you, roll heart, and on any roll you fill in one segment of a play clock and increase your relationship with someone by one and give someone plus one to their next roll.
Okay, let's see it.
Let's go.
I got a five.
A five, okay, cool. So you fill in one segment of your play clock and you increase whose relationship by one?
I'm going to increase me and Magnolia's relationship.
So as you go into this passion play, tell me what is the memory that is going through your head?
There is a specific moment where... So at the beginning of the game, when like Magnolia fumbles, Spica sees the first time that they ever were allowed to use the boosters. They took a huge tumble to the ground, And I think Magnolia came down next to them, or next to her, and was like making sure that she was okay. But like treated her like nothing terrible had happened, like giggled about it, and made her feel like super normal and not bad about herself. And she's thinking about that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You have this like kind of beautiful memory of Magnolia that kind of spurs you on to play harder. Your play clock. Oh my God. Play clock. Even closer to winning off. This fuck off to winning this key moment. Using this kind of relationship, and I think that is what you have learned in this game, is that you and Magnolia can always kind of fall back on each other, mm-hmm. when, for better or for worse, when things in this game get too complicated. But as that happens, Spica, mm-hmm. you do catch a glimpse of your mother in the crowd. This is your obligation coming into play. And you just kind of see they're not really watching the game. They're sort of like kind of like watching through the game almost. And the look on their face is like something that is closer to jealousy. As they see, like, kind of you and Magnolia celebrating, and they see Big Red and Magnolia's family celebrating from the sidelines. This sort of thing where, Spikey, your mother doesn't feel like they're a part of this, that you didn't even really want them there. And, in fact, as you kind of, like, just out of your corner of your eye see this, it sort of looks like they're getting up to leave. And your relationship will decrease by one with your family.
Oh, great. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, that was really sweet, and then it was really sad.
So
goal!
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Let's go to Gaius. I think that'll lighten the mood a little bit. Guys, you're like shitting your pants or something, I'm sure.
Yeah, classic. That's the move I use.
Covered in
use
glue.
Use this. It's Leo Pig with the steel chair.
Stop.
No.
It's little bow tie. Okay, so this is kind of what...
joke is not even for... Our audience doesn't even understand that joke.
What the fuck
joke.
Are they talking about?
We've released zero episodes with that character in it.
And we never will.
One of these days, y'all will meet Little Pig. But not today. I think what's happening to Gaius, so this whole time he's been lagging behind, and he's gotten to a point where now that things are kind of like moving a little bit, he's starting to, it's like the exhaustion is still there, but it's not as distracting, so it's like the adrenaline is starting to kick in a little bit, and he's starting to slowly get back into that sort of like steel mindset. And while this is happening, this is the best way I can explain it. You know when you're like on the highway, you're driving, and like all the other cars are going 60 miles an hour, but like they don't look like they're moving that fast at all? I think like what's happening is that Gaius is normally the fastest person on the court, but since they're all flying really fast, everything looks relatively like slow. Like he's not overwhelming them at all with any speed. But also like he's finally like seeing things like at the same speed that he flies. And so what he's gonna do, or what I'm going to do, is I'm going to use that to my advantage, and I'm going to, sorry, there's a long-winded way of explaining this. I know that the strategy to stop me would be to put pressure, like physical pressure, to force decision-making to be fast, right? It's like, it's easy when things are, like, it's easy to beep and bop the ball around when you're, like, when you have time to think about who you're going to pass it to. But if I put some pressure on them, I think I might be able to cause some mistakes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and pickpocket.
Ooh.
And I roll skill for that. I'm going to try and put pressure on Caspian.
All right.
And I rolled a 5 and a 4. So that means I get to pick one of these two options. Either we take momentum or I reduce the enemy's play clock by 1. And I think, you know, I think I want to steal momentum. Nice. I want us to, like, I want that to be able to, like, throw off their momentum where we're finally flying on all cylinders. I think that's how it kind of works out.
Yeah. You are able to, once you kind of get used to their speed, Gaius, you're able to push yourself even harder. And you are now, like, kind of matching them a little bit. And it's just enough of a tip in the right direction to have the course of the game starting to move more towards your favor. They are still ahead of you, as if we're looking at just like a points sort of perspective, but you guys have the opportunity to make a strong comeback here. And as you kind of like try to put pressure on Caspian, you see that is a hard thing to do, as Caspian has become like kind of a master of hiding. And just because of the nature of your position, you aren't a court guard or a flyer. It's not really your job to guard anyone or pester anyone. You need to be open to take shots. And you see that is kind of what they are best at, is slipping out of bad situations and being in the perfect position for these shots. And they hit hard as you see this. You see the strength being revealed from Caspian as this team continues to push in. They'll fill out 2 more segments of their play clock. You see Caspian has this sort of like a, if we're using D&D terms, almost like a sneak attack, right? Where you are kind of coming at it with this like flourish of like power and your dramatic spins. Caspian is hitting the ball directly at just the exact time and then immediately moving away, not even waiting to see if it goes in or not. Caspian is constantly moving and sees everything. So you see that strength, and you see that this team is now even closer to finishing this clock.
Really quick, there's this image in my head that it's like the difference, like Caspian in my mind moves very much like smoke, like very fluid, where I'm losing Caspian, but then catching them. So it's like my speed is more like zigzaggy, more like lightning, right? And so it's like a lot of like, fuck, bam, meeting, fuck, you know, like separating and meeting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like in one of those like meetings, just for a second, she just kind of whispers, "Damn, you're a fast learner," and then she's gone. You have momentum. Who goes next?
I think in like, I think in like one of those moments, I finally get the ball out. I kind of like boot it out. And as I'm like passing mid, like hitting the ball is when that whisper happens. But then I go flying one way and she goes flying the other. But that pass was to Sky. Like I'm trying to boot it to Sky.
Sky, the little prince, you have your own play clock named after you. You see the crowd is going wild for you.
You see the second that I get the ball, the second that happens, you see this look of utter irritation on Sky's face. he was just like, "What did I just say?" sorry, Jules, please, you were saying something.
No, I wasn't. It's your turn. What do you do?
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. Yeah, Sky is fully there. He's in that moment. He's paying attention to. He hears crowd just like jeering at him, like the little prince, like all of the stuff, and that he just like. And I actually, hang on. I don't know if this actually works in the same way, but I kind of really want it to. I have a
I have a special move.
Oh.
Never mind. Funnily enough, I looked it up and it doesn't even matter. I was going to use the "they're starting to piss me off" move. But
that sounds good.
Well, it's when another player gains a condition is the qualifying moment. But in this moment, I was like, does it count if the crowd is pissing me off?
Yeah.
That is interesting, though.
I know. Food for thought, you know?
Well, I guess here's what I'll say. If you're willing to take a condition from this crowd, you can use that move.
No, I don't think I am.
Okay.
I think for this first moment, he's just going to, like... He takes a second. I think he literally tries to get like up above everybody for just a split second. I literally think he goes almost all the way up to the hoop. I think this is literally a moment where he can just try and like just get away from everyone for a second, and he can see everything from up above. And within this, I think he's gonna try to read the court. It's a free action. It's under I. Specifically, I'm just trying to like pay attention to what the enemy, what the enemy team is doing, and what is making their play work. I think just being up above everything allows Sky that perspective. He can see everyone kind of like zipping around. He can see Gaius and Caspian kind of like just pinballing off of each other all over the place. Yeah. Every so often, I think he kind of has to like zip out of the way because the ball is like shooting up toward the hoop. I think he's just trying to like gain a little bit of a better perspective of this. And I also think this is kind of the first time that Sky has looked at it from up here. Because he's usually
from beyond the fray,
from beyond the one and only. Because he's usually on the ground. He's not up here ever. And so I think this is kind of the first time that he's gaining this perspective on it. And he wouldn't say it out loud, but I do think he has kind of a moment of, this is neat. And then he immediately kind of does the, okay, anyway. Yeah. Disgusting. I'm going to make that roll real quick.
That's it.
I roll I, which I do have minus one too. So that means I roll two and I take the lower.
Correct.
Okay. Five. That's a five. And
okay.
That is a four. So a four.
Four it is. Okay. Well, with a four, when you study what it is that makes the enemy play work, on any roll you get one clue on that play or one of its key players. You take this moment suspended up above, and we actually kind of pan over to the sidelines where we see Lakeside on their feet kind of looking, and you see just like a slight twinkle in Lakeside's eye. Remember, Lakeside was a center. You're playing Lakeside's position. And there's something about what you just did that resonates with them. I will say, here's your clue. There's one part of this equation that you all haven't been paying attention to. Empire is extremely impressive as a center. No doubt the linchpin of their operation. And Caspian is a dynamite forward. But Montgomery, their court guard, has been obliterating your court guards. And as you're like kind of above and taking stock, as Magnolia and Spica are doing their thing, Gaius is very focused on Caspian, Magnolia very focused on Empire, Spica trying to kind of play middle ground between all of these different ideas that all of you are having, that you have kind of completely discounted to Zane and Rowan down below. and they are just not anywhere where they need to be. You see, Rowan looks exhausted, and Tazane looks pissed. Whatever Montgomery is doing on the ground has kind of taken your court guards out of play, and you all have been none the wiser. So you get one clue related to that.
Okay. Okay. Can I cash that in now?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So you can cash in a clue to reveal a strength or a weakness, or Bianca.
You can use that to discover what strengths or weaknesses of ours they are ready to exploit. You can also add +1 to a move that exploits one of the target players or plays revealed weaknesses, and +1 to a move that counters one of the target player or plays revealed strengths.
B's good, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, I think what I'm going to do, I specifically want to, reveal a weakness of their play.
Hmm.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
As you are sort of taking in all of this information, like a hawk before you strike almost, what you realize about their play is it's extremely fragile. Hmm. They are sort of playing fast and smart with these passes. But if any part of the equation sort of gets like kind of taken out, it'd be very easy to interrupt their rhythm. They're used to working with each other. They fall into a rhythm very naturally. And since you all haven't really mounted a significant defense, they have sort of fallen into a pattern.
Okay. I'm immediately going to just begin every effort possible to inhibit their ability to score. Since I'm already up here, I'm like, I may as well. And so I think I literally just start swatting balls down as they start like popping up to me.
Okay.
I think within this, like mechanically, I'm goalkeeping.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense to me. So I'm gonna roll a skill.
Okay. How many is that?
Let me double check. I think I have a +1. I do. I have a +1. So I roll 2, and I take the higher.
For +1? Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, no. You just roll one.
So what do I roll when I have 0?
You roll 2
and you
lower.
Take the lowest.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Cool. That is a 6.
Whoa!
Let's go.
Wait, did you roll 2 6s?
I've only rolled 1.
No, just Hang 1.
On. Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
We can only roll 1.
That is a 4.
Don't you... Oh.
Damn.
Oh, right.
Wait a minute.
But, yeah,
a 0 in skill, or right. You have a plus 1?
No, I have a plus 1. I have a +1 in
you
skill.
Have a +1.
Okay, so we
have...
You just rolled a 1.
So you have a 6.
The 6 is right. The okay. 6 is right. Reinstate the cheer.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Fabulous. So on a 6, cool. You hold 2. You stop the threat completely, negating all of the segments they just filled out or about to fill in a play clock. You destroy an enemy play clock that has half or less of its segments filled in. You help your allies follow up, giving +1 dice to the next player or roll or move. Roll for a move. My God, I can't read.
I don't know that they've filled in many segments of a play clock. I think I'd destroy an enemy play clock.
They are very close to filling it in, so they have more than half.
Okay, got it. Then I will stop the threat completely. Negating
okay,
all the
so
segments.
So they cannot... So any yeah. segments they were going to fill in, that they're not going to be able to.
Yeah.
Nice. And you can also give +1 to the next player.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to toss it down to Spica. I think I see Spica just kind of like spiraling for a second, and I'm just like, "You good? What's up?"
Spica, you good?
Mommy to mommy.
Well, Spica's overeager. Spica's a little sad right now, so no. I think she tries to give you a look that is somewhat encouraging slash cool. But it comes off as like someone who is like has food sickness, food poisoning or something. And she, I think, sees what you're doing, and you are having so much success in this game. And she goes, I'm gonna follow suit. And she does the takedown move. and
okay.
Yeah.
That sounds intense.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, just like swatting all the balls away and stuff. And yeah. So when you trash talk, stare down, or otherwise intimidate the other team, yeah. Roll plus power on any roll, choose one. So let's do that.
Cool. And you are going to lose this plus one.
Yes. I'm over eager. So.
Okay.
Bummer.
Sorry. Eager beaver.
It's fair.
Eager freaking beaver.
You guys should deal with your emotions.
I got a five.
A five. I'll take it. Yeah, so on any roll, choose one. You get one clue from the way they respond. They fumble or slip up their play. The next player gets to roll plus one. Someone acts rashly, throwing off their teamwork, getting themselves into trouble. Erase one segment of their play clock. You can choose one.
I am going to erase a segment of their play clock.
That's bullshit.
Sorry.
Yay!
Sorry.
Guys kind of fucked my whole play clock situation.
What whole play clock situation?
I was about to fucking take this shit. What do you say? And who are you saying it to that gets them to act up?
I think I'm trying to encourage Tazane and Rowan down on the ground because I see how frustrated they are. And so I think I go down to like Montgomery and I like... what I'm picturing in my mind is that like Montgomery is about to like just make this like really oppressive move and like take the ball from like Tazane or something or get in the way of that, and I think I just like fully get in their way, just like get all up in their space, like stopping them in their tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even think I say anything. I think I just look at them and I'm like, oh, why'd you stop? And then I keep flying.
Yeah, Montgomery is a brick house. Like Montgomery, she's a big girl. Two like long like pigtails like coming out of the back of her head, freckles all over her face, and like is covered in like scrapes and bruises. Like this is like a Cookie Monster sweatpants girl. Like she knows how to
I'll add
scrap.
That Spica also blushes after she realizes who she's speaking to.
Why do you guys want to fuck all my angels? What's going on here?
What do you mean?
You make the strongest women NPCs.
I'm a
this
simple
is
man.
Your fault.
Yeah, you like kind of take down Montgomery. Montgomery guy like, kind of gets in your face. I'm gonna say actually the ref is gonna like blow whistle on Montgomery for like being a little bit too aggressive. And like when you like kind of wink, she kind of like gets frustrated and like spits. And like kind of takes her hair down, and you know, like she means fucking business now. But that's gonna fuck with their play clock. So in response to that, oh, that was free. So actually, do another thing?
Yeah, I do another.
That's
thing.
That's kind of wild for a free move, by the way. But okay. Kind of wild.
Okay, sorry. Then I'm gonna assist.
Okay.
When you directly perform an act of teamwork with another player, roll relationship with that player. That player acts next, regardless of momentum. Guess who I'm gonna assist? Well, yeah. Oh, Jesus. A four.
Okay.
Yeah, that player accidentally grabs momentum, adds dice to their next roll equal to the number of sixes I rolled plus one, which is no sixes, so just one.
Cool.
Yeah. And
yeah, you all still have momentum, so you can choose who to pass it to.
I'm gonna give that assist to Magnolia.
Okay. Magnolia's up next, but before that happens,
unless this is a referee move that you're about to pull,
which you can't do,
Okay.
Which is why I did that. Otherwise, I would have given it to you guys.
I'm gonna have to draft a new character sheet.
All right.
What if we just
Magnolia? What do you do?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you asked. there's like a lot that's happening, right? There's, I think that when Sky flies up, Magnolia also like looks up and like sees what he's doing and then like watches him start to swat balls and is like, yes, 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 because she is also a very defensive player up in the air. So it's really cool that he's like, she's like sure that like the ribbing and like the centering of attention is like not something that he likes, but he is playing the game. And that is really inspiring. And then I see like Spica like dive bomb onto Montgomery, and Gaius is really keeping up with Caspian. And there is a moment where Magnolia is like, we can actually fucking do this. And there is a perfect opportunity as Sky slams a ball down. Magnolia sees it coming and is like, I could hit this. It might hurt me, but I could hit this. And so very precisely, she's going to play.
Let's go.
So, plus one from Spica, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
This is precision play?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay. I got a 4, a 4, and a 5.
Okay. On a 4 to 5, the shot fails, but it might be salvageable. I get to make one extra move. Hell yeah.
You gave him another roll!
Damn it! No!
Yeah. That's delicious.
And that's it.
Yeah, okay, that's that, which is fine. You go for it. You see, like, your team is fighting back, which is, like, a lot faster of a response time from last time you found yourself in the situation against Reggie's team. You all are, like, getting serious. You're making more complex plays. You're making smarter plays. And as that all goes down, you see from the sidelines... I don't know, we didn't really get into it, but I don't think any of you really took note of the Angels' coach. And the Angels also have a new head coach. The former partner of your coach, Lakeside.
They're divorced?
Former?
Austin of the Angels. The first woman to win a title. The first woman Hall of Famer, actually. She stands up, scavenger herself. She kind of is like, she's like completely like buzz cut, except she has like one like long strand of like white hair that comes down off the side of her face, very anime style. She has like a bandana wrapped around her head, and she kind of just like stands very tall and kind of like looks at what's going on and kind of gives this like sharp whistle, and she just says, get it together, ladies. And you see all of the Angels sort of shift formation and start playing extremely differently. This is two moves at once. They are going to seize momentum back from you automatically.
No!
You see their left and right flyers actually switch sides. And cool. You see they all kind of like fall back for just a second, and they all rush forward, and they are now moving even faster than they were before. I mean, you know that whatever this formation means foretells something big coming. We'll have to find out next time.
This has been Beyond the Fray, a Pod Has Been Cast production. This episode was edited by David Moreland, with music direction from Carlos Olmedo. Original music by Small Hounds. Check out their debut album, Triangles, wherever you get your music. Additional music and sound effects listed in the episode description. Find us on our website, thephbcast.com, on Instagram, @thepodhasbeencast, and please rate, review, and subscribe. Hall of Patrons! Welcome to the Hall of Patrons, where we honor those patrons that have gone the extra mile in supporting this podcast. They have been cast nude in marble statues for all to see and to gaze upon their glory. I'm talking about statues of Omar, Big Daddy Dumper, Amir, Emily B., Desmond Universe, Warren Daly, Arlo Howard, Adrian, The Human Highlight Reel, Olives, Todd Allworm, Michael Sepcott, Matt Hunter, Sam Weissman Haller, Zachary S. Zimbal, Aaron Jansen Sillick, Jace 93, David Moreland, Elijah Sloan, Sarah Harrison, Jerrica Hookie, Zelda S., Rhea Strong, and my big brother Juan. Thank you, Patreons. If you want to be like these naked, beautiful, glistening statues, head on over to patreon.com and help us out at any tier you feel comfortable giving. Every little bit helps, and we love all of our Patreons. We have different gifts for different levels. Our highest tier will get you a shout out on the show, and at all tiers you get access to our exclusive Discord and perhaps a little bit of content coming your way every month. Who knows? But as always, thank you, patrons. Hey, I love you, darling. Now get the hell out of my house. Bye.